What a fantastic hymn this is. It was written in 1834, that's a while ago, by a Scottish bloke called Francis Light. And it was just before, 3 years before he died of TB, when he was 54. It's based, as we mentioned before, on Psalm 103. He takes the psalm and pulls its meaning into sort of New Testament theology, which focuses so much on the death and resurrection of Jesus and the free, the wonderful free gift that we can all enjoy of eternal life. Let me just check this is actually off. Yeah, I'm not getting feedback from that. Good. Yeah, that wonderful free gift of eternal life that we have. Now, this is a very special memory to me because this was the hymn that Jenny and I chose for her to enter into the church, walk down the aisle, and come and marry me. It's amazing you did it, dear. Anyway, I was a bit excited, as you can imagine. The first few bars of that hymn struck up, and I was just like, woohoo! How did this happen? There we were in this funny little church in Aberdeen. Yep, there we are. She didn't know I was going to put that up. It's my little practical joke. I have to have one in every sermon. So it's fantastic. That amazing love of God. And this hymn starts so well. Oh, go back one. There we go. It starts so well. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like you his praise should sing? The odd thing about this hymn is that it's actually talking to me. Have you noticed that? It's talking to myself, to my soul, about God. And as I sing, I instruct myself to acknowledge the extraordinary work of God in my life. The unreasonable yet wonderful work of God. You see, I've been held as a captive as a child and as a teenager. And he ransomed me. I was broken and damaged, incapacitated, and in many ways incapable. And he healed me. He restored me. He forgave me. And now, she's walking down the aisle, 5 or 6 years later, after I'd said my yes to Jesus Christ in a tent on a campsite, I'm watching this lovely girl come down the aisle to me. God had taken all that brokenness and failure. He'd got me halfway through an architecture course that everybody said was completely outside of my abilities. He'd sort of gloriously hijacked the plans I had for my life, poured his love and Jenny's love into it, and this was another step of God's grace on the way. There was plenty to praise him on that day, and there absolutely still is plenty to praise him on today. Sometimes it might feel like there isn't, but actually there are many, many good things in our lives. As we sing, we recognize from the psalm that the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Yes, in fact, he cares even when we run out of compassion. It says, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He has worked in the past. It's always good to remember that. He's worked in the past to save his faithful people, and he calls upon us to remember the past. We mustn't forget the good things that God has done. We've got to keep them in mind because at every stage in our lives, that is really important to remember that God is at work. And when we're praying for somebody who is sick, it is so good to remember. We prayed those years ago for somebody who was sick. We prayed last week for somebody who was sick and we saw God at work. We must remember what he's up to. He's full of grace and mercy and compassion. He is slow to anger and abounding in love. It's really important to keep that in our minds, the sense of who God is. The world likes to portray God as a bit grumpy and bad-tempered. Do you notice that? People always say, you know, well, you know, that God, he's, you know, if they believe in him at all, they think that he's just, you know, he's nobody's friend. But the hymn says, and it reflects the Psalms, he's slow to blame and swift to bless. Hallelujah, glorious in his faithfulness. And as we embark on the journey into verse 3 of this hymn, we recall the extraordinary insight of the psalm. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows that we are formed. He knows that we are dust. He knows how we're formed. He knows that we're dust. We tend to think of the concept of the fatherhood of God as a rather New Testament idea introduced by Jesus because he was the Father's son. But of course, we're wrong. God is seen in this psalm and in this song as the Father with compassion on us. We are so helpless, like this baby, cradled in the Father's arms. Like that baby, cradled in his mother's arms. Her mother's arms. He offers to fill our lives with his presence through the work of his Holy Spirit. We may be dust, but in the gracious work of God the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are eternal dust. And so, we come to the amazing last verse. Angels help us to adore him. You behold him face to face, sun and moon bow down before him, dwellers all in time and space. I am so uplifted by this. The word for angels is actually pretty well the same as the word for saints. So often, as we sing this, I often like to imagine, whether it's in this time or somewhere outside of what we can get our heads around at all, but I like to imagine some of those wonderful people that have touched my life for God's work, praising him now, joining in with the praise. And of course, it's not just them. It says it's the whole universe. This extraordinary, incomprehensible, vast universe, its very being is praise to the living God because he is the creator. He is the one who is just extraordinary in his love and light. And as he's done this, something amazing has happened. It is praise to God. The world turns. And I always see it as a sort of relay race of praise. As the world turns and all the different time zones go through, this is the church in every time zone gets up, goes to church, praises God. And whether we do it silently or loudly, we are still at work together with the whole world praising this amazing God. It feels to me like, you know, we're kind of out of sync. 4:30 is a pretty unusual time for a church service. It's pretty unusual for praising God at this time. We're probably helping to get that praise across the Atlantic at the moment towards the American evening services. I don't know. But it's not just us. We're not the only people doing this. And it's good to remember that there's this absolutely worldwide movement all around this amazing world that God has made of people just like us who have been saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are worshiping too. They're pouring out their hearts like we are. Some of them are in trouble, in distress. Some of them are worshiping in secret because they're not allowed to worship our God as freely as we are. But we are all doing it in this wonderful relay race, passing the baton of praise on as the world turns. I mentioned at the beginning about this idea that we're sort of as we worship, it feels like, and certainly felt like when I was praying on Thursday, that there's a sense of touching heaven, God reaching down to us. That vision of the veil being torn in two when Christ died, just completely killing off the separation between mankind and God. And we found that in each of our lives, haven't we? Before we put our faith in Christ, we were separated from him. Now, that veil has been torn too. There's that sense that we are at one with our God. It's an extraordinary thing. That mighty creator God who created the earth, who created the universe, he wants to be at one with each of us. He's calling us to put our faith and trust in him in the darkest of times, in the most wonderful of times. And so we worship. At the moment, we have to do it without singing. We just have to smile more. Let's give God the very best from our hearts, even though we cannot sing. Let's reach out to him. Let's follow the young people as they come back to teach us a little bit of signing for the song, or just do your own thing. Maybe just stand and smile heavenwards. Smile into the face of the living God and appreciate what a fabulous, wonderful thing he has done in your life. The hymn draws to a close. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise with us the God of grace. In those few words, there is just such an outpouring of praise. Hallelujah. Praise with us the God of grace. That grace that has affected everyone here. You know, even for those who don't yet believe, God is still at work. I've heard various people tell me that when they looked back at their lives before they put their faith in Christ, they can see that God was at work. And I totally testify to that. I totally do. The steps he took me through to bring me to faith, he is the God of grace. He is just totally wanting to draw us to himself. And whether you feel far away at the moment or whether you feel close to him at the moment, that doesn't stop him. He is still reaching out, wanting that relationship with you. Whether you're feeling like there's a whole lot of things that have gone wrong, whether dreams are not working out, whether hopes have not been fulfilled, or whether you are feeling like this is the moment where so much is all coming together, that doesn't change God. He is still the God of grace. When we get to that last line, do not forget to give him the biggest smile, the God of grace.